You're driving your car down a long, lonely, foggy road with your daughter to a seaside resort. Suddenly you see what looks like a figure of a young girl and you swerve to avoid her, but crash your car. You awake slightly injured with a gash on your head and realize that your daughter is missing. You set off alone in the fog to find your daughter, to find out what has become of the to find your daughter, but also to what became of the figure in the middle of the road. You find that you're in the town of Silent Hill. It's deserted, and you begin to see and hear strange things. You start to realize that hell and earth are starting to become one in the small town of Silent Hill. Good afternoon, my name is Rob Daniels, and welcome to Visions and Sound's feature on the game and film Silent Hill. Now, Konami originally released the original Silent Hill game in 1999 for the PlayStation game console. I have personally played Silent Hill and can honestly say that it was a very creepy experience. Now, I do not scare easily, but the original Silent Hill game really creeped me out. Never have I looked over my shoulder as many times as I did for this game. Now, what amazed me about this game were the sound and the atmosphere, fog effects, falling snow, and a very cinematic feel to the game. When the edge of town was truly the edge of town, I was hooked. Basically, this was the era of the third-person perspective game made popular by the Tomb Raider franchise of games. Silent Hill remains in my mind as one of the best horror games I have ever played. We also saw during this time a sudden surge of computer game soundtracks. The Final Fantasy series of games had proven that the game scores were viable and profitable. It was only a matter of time before the game soundtracks would gain in popularity. Other game soundtracks of the period that would continue to prove that for certain was the aforementioned Final Fantasy, Medal of Honor, Metal Gear Solid, and many others, including Silent Hill. Now, composer Akira Yamaoka, would create an eerie and frightening score to the game, mainly using a technique known as sound design. Born in 1968, Akira studied interior product design in college. He wrote music for Sparkster for Nintendo's Super Famicom in 1993. Akira says of his music, "Originally, I was planning to become a molding artist, not a musician. As for me, there are not any differences between music and art, as it is the same means of expression. As for my current self, creating music is what I am. Thus, I do not regard myself as a music creator. The first song I created when I was in a punk rock music group in high school. My sound and my soul called Silent Hill to this world. In any case, I think it is destiny that we are supposed to meet each other since it's only myself in this world who can express the sound of this title." Here's a little bit more of music from the game Silent Hill. Now, be warned, this is not for everyone. This music is very based in sound design. So I'll be back in just a little bit. And that's just a little bit of the sound design music from Silent Hill, a film that's coming out tonight, but a game that has been out since 1999. Also, there's several other games that follow that. I believe they're up to Silent Hill 4 at this point. Anyway, if you are interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. Or you can try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, welcome back to Visions and Sound. I'll have some more of the Silent Hill game soundtrack in just a little bit. Now, a few months ago, I was given the great opportunity to speak to composer Jeff Danna when he was mixing his adapted score for the Silent Hill movie opening today. I met up with Jeff in Metalworks Studios in Mississauga.
All right, well, we're here at the Metalworks in Mississauga, and you're here mixing the score to Silent Hill.
That's right.
So when we last spoke in 2004, you had just finished Resident Evil Apocalypse. Now, since then, you have been busy, and your most recent score is Tideland, co-composing with your brother Michael. What's it like working with a family member?
We have a good time when we work together. It's a fun combination. I really enjoy it. We sort of come at music from the same place, but it's maybe slightly different. We sort of think of it as maybe the two sides of the same coin, to use a tattered old cliche. So there's an immediate understanding generally between us of what we're doing and what has to be done, and then we sometimes take a little slightly different paths to get to that place. Tideland was also a great experience because we were working with Terry Gilliam, who is a legend and a very interesting man to work with creatively. So that was a good experience for us. And now we'll wait to see if the film comes out in North America.
So it hasn't come out yet?
No, this one is quite an unusual film. It's definitely left of center. And so far we haven't heard if it's going to be released yet here in Canada or not.
Okay. Now, it was at the Toronto International Film Festival, if I'm not mistaken. Were you there at the premiere?
Yeah, we were there. And it was a good night. The film was received the way I think Terry hoped it would be received, which was, some shock and awe, some people really liking it, some people, having a hard time handling some of it. It's a film he made that was, as he said in his comments before the screening, it's a difficult film on many levels, and it's quite effective, really. So
what was it like working with the Monty Python legend Terry Gilliam?
He's a man of extraordinary energy. That's the first thing that is apparent when you're with Terry. It's very positive energy, too. He's not grinding you down or anything. It's just very very upbeat and exciting. This is a man who's must be in his mid to late 60s, and he was bounding up the stairs at Air Studios in London two steps at a time ahead of me. So he brings an enormous amount of energy to the project, and he has a different way of interacting with film and music. It's kind of hard to put into words, but it's just he sees the process a bit differently, and he's very comfortable with letting it mature as it goes. It doesn't have to be locked in all the time, all the way. He's got a fluid kind of attitude towards it, and it was the film is sort of like a twisted fairy tale. So musically, we were able to do music that was like fairy tale music but gone wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was very challenging and a lot of fun.
Okay. So getting back to the Toronto International Film Festival, how important is the festival, do you think, to Canadian artists?
Well, I think for film, it's the major showcase for the abilities of everyone in the filmmaking process. It's widely considered one of the great film festivals in the world anyways. But it's an extra bonus that it just often features so many Canadian performances and products. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it very much.
Now, how about Canadian film music?
Well, again, it's a international showcase. So your work is seen by people from all over the world. That can never really be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, now we're going to be talking about Silent Hill, which is what you're currently mixing.
Right.
We're here at the Metalworks, and it from what I've read, it's a Canadian-Japanese co-production. Why are we mixing it here in Toronto, in Mississauga?
Basically, we're just here because I wanted to be close to the directors. Christoph Gans, he's here doing a lot of the post work down in Toronto. So I wanted to be close to him, and there was a particular kind of studio we wanted to work in, and Metalworks fit the bill. So I came up from LA, and here we are. Okay. But I don't think it's just a Canadian-Japanese co-production. I mean, Christoph and Sebastian are French, and you know, the cast are English, and some of the post people are Canadian, and I think some Americans involved too. So I'm not sure how that all works. It's quite. I know one of the producers is Australian as well, so it's kind of a United Nations effort.
All right. Well, what is involved in the mixing process? I know this is going to be a huge question, but what is involved?
Well, it's interesting in this case. It's a little bit of a different answer than normal. In a normal film score, you will have recorded your orchestra at the orchestra sessions and perhaps recorded some overdubs of any individual instruments that you wanted to separate from the orchestra after that, and then you bring it all together at the mix. Here, because the score is strongly based on Akira's music from the game itself, it's about 90% electronic. So we don't have orchestra we're mixing, but we're bringing together an enormous amount of electronic information. More tracks than I've ever seen in any given cue. And so it becomes... this one's going to take a while to mix. It's a big one. If you record an orchestra, then you usually get most of your balancing done off the floor while the band plays. And you get, you know, if you need a little more from the wind section or the brass section, you get them to play it that way. And it mostly is finished when you get it. And this is quite different. We're building it up from the ground up with some very unusual electronic sounds and textures. And so we'll be here for a while.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that Christoph Gans was editing, well, close by anyway.
Yes.
How involved does he become with the music for Silent Hill?
Well, Christoph and his editor, Sebastian, are very involved because, again, they wanted to very much base the music from the film off of the game. So... they had very definite ideas which parts of Akira's score they would like adapted for which particular scenes. So it's been, they're very hands-on, both of them.
Okay. So now you've mentioned a couple of times that the score is based off the game.
Right.
How familiar were you with the Silent Hill before coming into the project?
I knew of the game, of course, and I think I'd probably seen it. I have friends who have a lot more time than I do, and... spare time, I should say, on their hands, and I'd seen it played a few times, but I was not intimately familiar with it. I did have one of the records from while I had Silent Hill 2 at home, the record, and so I knew that stuff a little bit. But no, the real education for me came after we talked about me doing the film. Then I went out, bought the game, attempted to play it badly, and you know, saw the kind of music that they had in mind and that they were thinking about scene by scene, and learned about it from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, Akira's score is a very sound design based.
Yes.
What did you do to adapt it to maybe more of a more... Did you take a more orchestral approach to it?
Well, not orchestral. There's no orchestra in this film, and we decided right away that that wouldn't really be appropriate for the world of Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. Christoph likes things to be different. On all levels, he has a very strong and unusual visual identity, I think. Different than anything I've seen for a film like this. It's really quite interesting. And he, again, wanted the sound to be different, partly because he just likes things to be different, and partly because he wanted it to be like the game. And the game music is different than your typical orchestral action-adventure or horror sci-fi film. So with those two things, those two ideas firmly in place, it was clearly not going to be anything ordinary.
Right. So did you maybe create sounds similar to what maybe you used in Resident Evil Apocalypse?
No, not really. It's quite a different sound. I mean, we were working with Akira's music, so we were working with those ideas. So a lot of the times we were recreating, or very close to recreating, the kind of textures and, like you said, sound designy sort of cues that Akira used in the film. So a lot of the film is that kind of thing, and we had to recreate those things, and I had to, you know, record, you know, big pieces of metal slamming together and all this unusual sort of thing that he's done for the game. And then the musical parts of the score, there's some piano themes, a little bit of cello stuff happening, And those were expanded upon and adapted to work with the picture in the film. But it doesn't really, it's not really like the Resident Evil approach, which was electronic meets orchestra. It's more like sound design meets a few instrumental elements.
Okay. So now there is a was a song in the very first game from a composer named Rika Miyanaka, if I'm not mistaken. Is that song going to appear?
You know, I haven't heard all the songs. There are specific parts of the film that they delineate from the beginning. Songs go here. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they, as the film is in the process of being edited, they try different things out and they try different songs. I know that everything in the film, musically, whether it's score or source, is from the game. So I know the songs are from the Silent Hill world, but I'm not positive which ones they're using at this point. They probably have decided by now, but I've had my hands pretty full with the score end of things. So,
all right. So what inspired your approach? I mean, obviously Akira's score, but is there anything that maybe something different that inspired your approach to the score?
Well, again, seeing as this is more of an adaptation than a creation for me, the game and Akira's music in the game was the main inspiration. And having those original meetings with Christoph, where he made it very clear that he did not want to make a Hollywood quote-unquote kind of film, wanted to do something different, set the stage for me to just go in a different, just to not take the expected path ever.
What is the most rewarding part of mixing the score?
Well, it's nice to see it all come together after working on it for 4 or 5 months. Like I said, some of these pieces are just gigantic, and they're assemblies of 50, 60, 70 different tracks of audio and texture and piano and cello and that sort of thing. So it's nice after all this time to see it come together and to see, also we're seeing for the first time some of the finished visual effects on the film, mm-hmm. which are quite striking. I mean, they've held the visual people up to a high standard, I hear, and it's really paying off. It looks very good.
Now, did you become a fan of the games because of this, or are you a fan of the games because of this now?
I don't really know the game that well. I bought Silent Hill 2 and I played it for a couple of nights, and like I said, it kicked my butt for the most part. Yeah, I like the film. I'm a fan of the film, and that's really my world. I mean, I had to come, more than say Resident Evil, I obviously had to come from a place where the game started, but for me it's really been the world of the film, not the game. And the film is very interesting. It's a different kind of, you know, there's been a lot of video game movies, as mm-hmm. they're called, a lot of these things. This is different than anything I've seen.
Okay. So what does the future hold for you?
I don't know for sure. There's two or three things pending. I'll have to pick from one of them. Mm-hmm. And probably until I do, I'll just have to say I'm not sure. The only thing I do know for sure is that Brett Morgan, who co-directed The Kid Stays in the Picture, which is a film I very much enjoyed working on. And he's a very a smart man and a director I admire a lot. He called me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and he said, my new film is finally ready and I'm hoping you'll work with me on it. And I was more than happy to tell him yes. So I know that's coming up before the summer, but that's all that I know for sure. I think there'll be something between now and then, but time will tell.
Well, thank you for taking the time today, and really appreciate your comments on the Silent Hill film, as well as many of your others.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for having your show and all you do for us film music guys.
And this is Visions in Sound here on CKMS 100.3 FM Radio Waterloo. Welcome back. Now, Jeff did tell me after the interview that there would be no soundtrack release for the film. However, as recently as the 10th of this month, I have received an email from Jeff telling me that there was talk that there may be a release. Now, Jeff said that he would keep me updated. Now, in the meantime, enjoy some of music from another film that we talked about during the interview. This is Terry Gilliam's Tideland, composed by both Jeff and Brother Michael.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.